Having a fantastic Christmas. Last night I sat and we had some family join us, and we did what you do in Australia. We watched the carols. And who loves to be Australian at Christmas time? I watch, you know, these movies and White Christmases, and it's all very romantic, but I love Christmas in Australia. I love our country, and I just sort of thought sometimes we're told that we live in a very secular society, and I watched our carols last night in the Meyer Music Bowl, and I thought, we don't really live in a secular society. We live in a society that actually has its roots in something very, very important, that has its roots in what a lot of people would call Judeo-Christianity and all those sorts of things. But there are men and women that have come before us that have laid incredible roots for us as Australians, that they've actually stood up for things that are important. And I just start to think that we're coming back to a new time. None of this was on my notes, by the way. We're coming back to a new time when I think some of those things that in our past, that some of the things that our forefathers have actually laid down for us are going to be realised in our nation in the future. So don't let people fool you and say, you know, Australia is this and the church is on the way out and the relevance of Jesus is less important. It is not at all. It is more important. And you're going to see some exciting things in the next few years. So anyway, what are some of the things that you like about Christmas? Come on, yell them out. What do you like about Christmas? I've just said what I like about Christmas. I love being Australian at Christmas. And carols, Alex loves carols. Food, church, presents, yeah, what else? Ice cream. Raspberries. I can see that you like some things about Christmas. That's cool. And I think as we go through life, our various seasons, we start to appreciate different things at Christmas time. And let me share something that I experienced this Christmas already. Alex and I, after a pretty hectic day of running around, you know, getting everything ready for Christmas, we're hosting about 18 people at our place for Christmas, and so we're running around getting organised, doing all the stuff you've got to do, and I had a list, you know, check, 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 tick, 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 and I'd actually got through my list pretty well by the end of the day, and so had Alex, and just while we were waiting for some family to come, we sat out on our deck out the front of our house, and we were just enjoying a Christmas drink. And all of a sudden we hear this, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. And these two faces looked around our fence and they were wearing those Christmas hats. And then they disappeared. And then we saw this whole family of people in a people mover. And someone yelled out the window, check your driveway. And so Alex goes over, and on the driveway is a little Christmas gift. And it had like a nice banana loaf and some other little lollies and all sorts of things. And what was going on was there was a whole family from here at church with a number of kids, and they'd all got together and they were driving around various people that they knew, and they were dropping Christmas gifts off outside the houses. Now, even as we peered through the little windows of the people mover as they went past, the excitement on the face of the kids as they drove around and they actually gave something to somebody else and then they surprised people and all that was absolutely fantastic. So that has blessed me this Christmas, and I think that's one of those things that is important at Christmas, that we look at how we can make a difference to somebody else, and that family were doing that in an amazing way. I also got an email from Anna last night, and she had some pictures of the presents that you guys decorated that tree with, and we were able to raise some money and put some gifts into YazTaz. Now, YazTaz is for young men who are homeless and needing a little bit of help, and you guys put in and raised about $1,100, and all those boys have got give yourselves a clap. That is brilliant. And all those boys have actually got a fantastic present this Christmas. So, and I saw the gift of that, and Anna had written some beautiful words on that about, you don't know us, but we believe in you, and we have it on good authority. You're a young man with a whole lot of potential. And I was touched. So my Christmas has started absolutely brilliantly. When I was young, I can remember Christmas. I was one of those kids that got very excited about Christmas. As long as I can remember, I was excited about Christmas. I was one of those kids that actually woke up before they went to bed, you know, with the excitement of what could come. And we had, I've got three brothers and one sister. My parents are here this morning. So Christmas was pretty busy, and my parents were absolutely rapt that me and my brothers were up at, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning, all excited about our Christmas presents. So, you know, they continually thank us for doing that. As I got older, you know, different things happen in different seasons. For some of us, I can remember a season when I was in business, operating a small business, and Christmas was, 2 days off or 3 days off. You know, it was just absolutely fantastic to withdraw from that and just hang out with family for a couple of days. And it was like, I so need that at the moment. I can remember as I started to grow up in a small town in Devonport where I lived, suddenly at Christmas time, you started to see people that you hadn't seen for a while. And I can remember going out around town, you'd go out somewhere, and all of a sudden old school friends and people that you hadn't seen for a few years, because just as life moves on, people started to move away. People went to uni, people moved away for work, they got girlfriends in other cities, all sorts of things happened. And suddenly at Christmas time, it was like, all these people had come home, because people come home at Christmas. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. I love it that people come home at Christmas. There would be parents here this morning, and you've got a full house. You can't get into your fridge. You can't get into your bathroom. You can't have a shower when you want to. But your house is absolutely full, because the kids have all come home for Christmas. And despite the inconveniences of that, you're absolutely loving it, because it's fantastic that the kids come home for Christmas. Now, people do come home for Christmas. So where did this coming home for Christmas business start? Where did that actually start? Well, let me tell you, there was a young man called Octavian. And Octavian had a rather famous uncle, and his name was Julius. And Julius was the leader of the Roman Empire. And Julius thought so much of Octavian that he adopted Octavian as his own son. So whilst Octavian may not have been born to be a king, but he was being groomed to be a king. So Octavian was made the official heir to the Roman Empire. Now, unfortunately, a lot of you will know this, for Julius, he found out that politics can be a pretty dirty sort of business. And unfortunately, Julius was assassinated. And then the young Octavian took over the empire. Well, actually, he didn't really get it completely. He had a few rivals. And over the years, he had to go to battle with these rivals. And one of them that you would know was a guy called Mark Antony. And Octavian and Mark Antony brought their thousands of troops and ships together. And they had a huge battle. Mark Antony was being bankrolled by the Egyptian princess Cleopatra. And they're having this ding-dong battle, and eventually Octavian wins because he was a superior tactician, and he actually won. And he started to get a firm grip on the Roman Empire, and he started to become more and more powerful, extremely powerful. And eventually he becomes so powerful that he has an idea. Why don't we get everybody to return home? Why doesn't everybody in the whole known world actually return home? And they can actually get registered to pay tax. So he started the first ever taxation department. We got him to thank for that. And everybody had to return home to the land of their heritage, to the land of their fathers and mothers, and actually get registered to pay tax. Wouldn't that be amazing in Australia if that happened? If one Christmas, we all had to go back to the land of our forefathers and get registered or something like this. It would be like 20 million people, you know, except our indigenous people, would actually be flying out of our country to go back to wherever we came from to get registered. Wouldn't it be amazing? You know, people would be flying back to England and Malaysia and all parts of Europe, where we would actually be going, and we'd be getting together with people that we had met before and getting registered. Now, that's what happened at this time. Isn't that amazing? Imagine, can you think of any world leader that could actually issue an order that could say, hey, I want everybody across this whole known world to return home to the land of their forefathers. This man was very powerful. He said it and it happened. And because that happened, there was a young carpenter, and his name was Joseph. And he had a pregnant fiancée, and they travelled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which was about 130 k's. So let's pick up the story, and Alex has already read this to you this morning. At the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus, that's Octavian, Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the 10th census taken when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go back to Bethlehem, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth to Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, and who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there came the time for a baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child. She wrapped him in snugly strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Isn't that amazing? So this going home for Christmas actually started right back with this Roman emperor who said everybody needs to return back to their hometown. And we've got Joseph and his fiancée Mary, and they have to travel about 130 k's. We've got a young teenage girl who was obviously heavily pregnant, and I guess she probably rode on a donkey or something like that. And they get back and they get to Bethlehem, and they probably came in late at night. Have you ever had to go into a strange town late at night and try and find accommodation? It's sort of a bit of a daunting thing. I remember once Alex and I were in Bali. And we'd been driving around the island, and all of a sudden it started to rain, like those tropical storms. And there was water, you know, right up the side of the cars, and it, because of that we got delayed and it got dark, and we drove into to the Kuta area or Legian area, and we're driving around everywhere in the dark trying to find somewhere to stay, and we were disorientated and we didn't know where we were going, and it's quite a daunting thing to get somewhere and you haven't got anything pre-booked. And so this young couple, suddenly they arrive in the town, there is no room for them, and they end up in a stable or in a shed, and all of a sudden she has to give birth. What a situation. And when you read the text, it would appear that this young teenage mother, who was away from her family support, who was away from her parents, didn't really have anybody to help. It doesn't say anything about Joseph at all. I mean, I think he was so freaked out by the whole thing, he was just saying, look, Mary, I'll just keep the animals quiet. You do what you got to do here. You look after this thing, and I'll be back in a minute. So she obviously felt very lonely. And it's true that as we stand here this morning, and I've told you great stories about Christmas. I've told you how wonderful I think Christmas is. And I celebrate Christmas because Jesus came into the world. But for some people, Christmas can be a very lonely experience. For some people, Christmas can remind them of the people that they're missing. It can remind them of people that they're away from. It can remind them of relationships that perhaps they don't have anymore. All sorts of things can make Christmas a lonely time for people. But isn't it amazing? Out of the loneliness of this teenage mum is born the Saviour of the world. Out of her loneliness, out of the fact that God had spoken to her and said, Mary, you've got something very important to do here, actually comes the gift that is the Saviour for all humanity. Out of Mary's loneliness came something incredibly special. I just want to encourage people this morning, if perhaps you're feeling lonely, perhaps you're feeling a little isolated for whatever reason, I want you to take a risk. Draw near to God. Call out to Him, and I believe that out of your loneliness, out of your feeling of isolation, can come something very, very special out of this time. Just like for Mary, in that time where she was all alone, having to deliver a baby all by herself in a strange town, and you mightn't be in that in a real sort of physical way, but emotionally you might be in that place. And I believe that if you would draw near to God this morning, that out of your loneliness, out of that time, can actually come something special, can come something that will actually be your Saviour. And I want to encourage you to turn to Jesus, because He can be your Saviour this morning. He can be your Saviour anytime. Let me go on. Verse 8, it says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said, I bring you good news. This is what I'm talking about. Good news that will be great. Good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, is born today. After a baby is born, blokes probably have got a little bit more together nowadays. They're mostly there at the birth. But often afterwards, guys will go out and they'll want to do something to celebrate the birth of that child. They'll want to get together with blokes and smoke cigars. Or I've been to wet the baby's head's night where the baby's not there. I couldn't get this one. We're out wetting the baby's head. The baby's not in sight. We can't put anything on the baby's head. But we're all celebrating together. We're having a drink together. And we're celebrating the fact that this father is happy because suddenly he's actually got a new child in his world. He is so overjoyed about the fact that a baby came into the world. Isn't that amazing? What did the Father in heaven do when his son came into the world? He didn't smoke a cigar, I don't think. He didn't get his mates together and wet the baby's head. But what he did do is we're told that he sent the armies of heaven. And he put on this amazing light show. And they came and they gathered together in the sky. And it must have been absolutely magnificent because it said the armies of heaven. It would have been huge. And they were singing together and they said this. They said, Jesus was... they said in Luke 2:24, they said, glory to God in the highest heavens and peace on earth to all those with whom God is pleased. Isn't that amazing? That God was pleased with humanity. Despite the fact that at that time society had degenerated into a pretty terrible sort of place when you read the history. But God said, I'm actually so pleased. I love these people so much that I want to send them a son who will be, I want to send them my son who will be their Savior. Absolutely amazing. What do you think if God had a choice this morning? And he does have choices. There are some things that he can't make people do. You see, you and I have been created completely in the image of God to make our own choices. We've got the freedom to really choose to do anything we like. Now, what do you think that our Father God would like for Christmas? What do you think he would actually like to have for Christmas? And I think for him it would be like, I would just like the kids to come home. I would like the kids to come home. Our Father in heaven, who was the orchestrator of coming home at Christmas. It was actually him who allowed Augustus Caesar to have so much power that he could actually say to everybody in the known world that we want you to go back to the home where you came from and get registered. He allowed that to happen. The first Christmas, he orchestrated the whole coming home for Christmas. And our Father in heaven this morning is saying, come home. Our Father is saying, come home. If you're a parent here this morning, you know what it's like to have your kids back for Christmas. Just multiply that by about a million times. And that's what our Father in heaven feels like when people come home. When people actually reconnect with God, when people actually understand what Christmas is all about and the fact that a Savior came into this world so that people could be connected with God. Does the band want to come and join me, please? One of the writers I read about as I was preparing this message said, Rome was full of men who had lost their economic footing and their moral stability. Soldiers had tasted adventure and learned to kill. Citizens who had seen their savings consumed in taxes and inflation, in the taxes and the inflation of war, and waited for something to return the tide of life back to affluence. Women dizzy with freedom, multiplying divorces, abortions, and adulteries. That was a description of the time when Jesus came into the world. 2,000 years later, we can relate to that description. We can relate to it, to a lot of what goes on in the world. Right at that very time, Caesar Augustus was seen as very much a political saviour. He was somebody that had actually come and pulled a crumbling empire back together and started to give an empire some purpose. But the world at that time was still hungry and calling out for a saviour. People had a hunger to be filled spiritually. People had a hunger for something more than just political and economic stability. Jesus came into the world as a baby. He came into that world. He lived in that world. He grew up in that world. He interacted in that world. And he died in that world so that you and I could have life. And we could have an abundant life. And our Father is waiting. And he says, come home. Come home. Come home. If there's anything that the Father in heaven could have for Christmas, it would be to have the kids, that's all of humanity, to come home, to come back to Him. This Christmas, go and celebrate. Have a fantastic time. Enjoy your family. Enjoy this time. But let's remember, we've got a Father in heaven who's saying, come home. Come back. Reconnect with God. Get to know Him. Get to know Jesus this Christmas. Get to know Jesus this year. Don't just come home for Christmas. Don't just come home for a few days. But why don't you come home for good? Why don't you come home for the rest of your life? Why don't you come home for the rest of eternity? Because our Father says, come home. Thanks, Al.